Holy Father, we welcome your presence, knowing by vindication, as Brother Branham said, you welcome our presence, being here now to curry favor with us, to look upon you for what you are. And this is overwhelming when we even consider grace and who and what you are in the depths of your love. How that you not only loved your only begotten Son, but how you must have loved us and how he much have loved us. And we, Lord, should be overwhelmed by it, respecting you and honoring you with such great sincerity of heart as never before. Help us, Lord, to come to that place of depth of appreciation, respect, sincerity, and actual awe, a real fear of the Lord, which we know to be godly reverence. So, Father, unless we have that, we know that we are falling short of the privilege that we have, because it is only in that privilege that we can truly understand the depth of the revelation of yourself and that which you have set forth. May we come to that speedily now, because we know the time is short. And so, Father, if that takes place in our hearts, and we know it is taking place and must continue to do so with the great growth, that coming, Lord, we know that we will stand ready here at that day when your voice calls them out of the ground, Lord, out of their graves. The graves give forth the dead into living, and we standing with them transformed, going to the wedding supper. Father, we appreciate all this and know it is true, and say, as Brother Branham said so truthfully, so carefully, we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, we won't stand in her way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, it's a very strange thing that many things I have told you over the past for many years, some of you are finally beginning to understand by going on the internet the actual conditions that are out there in the world. That people who claim to believe this message do not even have a clue. So you won't be surprised what I'm going to tell you now. A certain person with whom I am in touch and minister told me that he was told recently, and this is 30 years after Brother Branham is dead. It's actually 20 solid years, 22 years since I start preaching on the presence, that they're beginning to understand what it even means for them to sing Jesus is here. Now, you understood? Did you hear what I said? Didn't even know that. And what do you think that people are getting? To whom are they listening? Didn't Brother Branham say that Paul met the pillar of fire and he said he had changed his mask? He had gone back now from the flesh to a pillar of fire? That wasn't Jesus, the Son of God. That's Elohim. Amen. Jehovah Savior. And Joshua is Jesus. One's Greek, one is Hebrew. And it means Jehovah Savior. And so when you talk about Jehovah saving, I'd ask you a question. Who saved them out of Egypt? Jesus never went down there and saved them out of Egypt. That is the one that's sitting on the throne now, the one in flesh. He was thoroughly represented, though, in the lamb that was slain, in order that when he did come, the blood with his final perfect atonement would allow them to come out of the grave. So, you see, there's a great discrepancy between what Brother Branham taught and what many people are preaching and many people are believing. And this should lead you this morning to a conclusion we've talked about many times, and that is 8 people made the ark. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, it wouldn't have done any good for Noah to club them on the head and drag them in. There wasn't any room for them. There wasn't any food for them. There wasn't any grace for them. Do you know that this is the hour of Joshua, day of special grace? And not just grace, it's special grace. God not only showing us love, but as Brother Branham said, God currying favor with us. As a groom, prospective groom to a prospective bride, he does everything possible to attract her attention and make her realize that he is the husband that she really wants, whether she knows it or not. And he talked about the girl that looked at the fellow with the cute little feet. How many churches are looking for the cute little feet? Now listen, these things Brother Branham said, and I say many times, and I am far, not worse, but I'm much more committed to the bizarre and to the ironic, to the sarcastic, than he was, or ever would be. I can do in one sermon what he wouldn't do in a lifetime. But I have a pretty good teacher to follow. He could hit hard. Many times the Holy Ghost told him to hit hard, like he told those Canadians up there, you bunch of mossbacks. Okay, the moss grows on the back of the tree because the wind blows out of the north. And they're so cold, indifferent to the things of God, that they stood there like trees and had a fungus growing on them. And I've showed you by Scripture that fungus is a curse. Blight, mildew. 95% of the world people have mildew in their veins even, their bodies. So all these things show forth the hour in which we live, and the knowledge has increased in the realm of the educational. It has not increased in the realm of the revelation. And remember, revelation is a very potent and powerful force. So Brother Branham said, we've seen the Word of God demonstrated in power, but not in revelation. So if you think the manifestation of vindication was absolutely fantastic, what's it going to be when we are completely imbued, endued with the real revelation of Almighty God? The people were not necessarily enamored, but excited and enamored with manifestation, and then turned on revelation of how much value was your excitement, because they have taken the lesser for the greater, and they have substituted, which is really unreal, because gifts are merely gifts. See? Merely gifts. And you know, you want a perfect case of seduction. What do? You have a man who presents himself to the girl with all kinds of gifts and all kinds of flattery. He only wants one thing, that's sex, and when he's through with her, throws her in the gutter. Wouldn't you sooner have the man without all the fanfare of the gifts and the fine talk and everything else? Well, certainly, if you have any reality, unless you're one of the beast race, you want that person. Well, what they have done, they've sold out for gifts. They've sold out for manifestation. Simply gifts. But they've not sold out for the Word. And the selling out for the Word is what really counts. Now, I'm going to read something here, and it was given to me by Lloyd. He looked it up. I don't think we've ever read this to you before. But Israel in Egypt is where he talks about this. It's many years back. And he brings up the fact of the necessity of teaching in a fivefold ministry, but particularly at this point, teaching, and he's talking about himself, the very things that I've told you. Where is the revelation of the people? Now, if they didn't catch it under Branham, Brother Branham, over 30 years ago, and they haven't caught it under my strenuous preaching, and believe me, my preaching is strenuous, and you know it is strong, very, very strong on presence and vindication, and can't catch that Jesus is here, Elohim is here, what are they catching? See, now here's what he says. When they say, I don't need anybody to teach me, glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, then the Holy Ghost was wrong when it said some in the church as teachers. God put them in the church as teachers. He put them there as pastors, as evangelists, as apostles, as prophets, right down the line. That settles it. Why did he put teachers in there if the Holy Ghost is going to do all the teaching? See? What people need is their brains baptized. Now, the greatest criticism I have, and it's even on the internet, that I'm intellectual. If you want an intellectual person, and I'm going to use a name, this man has a legitimate PhD. I won't use his name. He's a librarian. He was a consultant for IBM for years. He was recognized, according to his own statement, by the CIA and a certain government. And when they asked him, what does it mean when that which is perfect has come, checking his answer with Brother Branham and him claiming to believe Brother Branham implicitly, he said Brother Branham was wrong when he said that which is perfect has come, because Brother Branham in 1963 made that statement, and in 1964 prophesied the West Coast would go down, which means, and the quote is from 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect has come, prophecy ceases. And so he said, see, Brother Branham prophesied after that, so perfection hasn't come. Now, if I'd have brought you Shelley's quote, I should have brought it to show you, he said the same thing. He said, I don't care who says it. And I believe the Bible, he says. He's a liar from the ground up. He is a liar and a serpent seed. Because he contradicted the Brother Branham, stood right before the people, and he said, that is not so, and he put it in the millennium. Now, you go to 1 Corinthians 13, and you're going to find this. That which in part is done away when perfection comes. Perfection is in seven. Right? Amen. Come on. Is perfection seven? Why? Because it's completion. Even today you have a language of sevens in mathematics for your computers. This is the hour of seven. It's over. And when perfection comes, which is seven, if you had a billiard ball, as I've said many times, made in space, so it's perfect. The sphere, a sphere. There's no gravity pull, gravitational pull. And you had that completely varnished. One scratch is no longer perfect. One drop of wax is no longer perfect. Because it's in sevens. So therefore, everything ceases in the line of gifts and those other things that we think matters. Tongues cease. Everything ceases. Why? Because you're right back to the Word, to an original start. Amen. Then if gifts and things come out of this, you would be on a proper trend. But we'll talk about that later because there's a question here. Now, he says, and he equates prophecy to a simple little prophecy. We're not talking about that. Brother Branham explained the Bible is a book of prophecy. I went into this as spoken words, original seed. And if I get a chance to unfold something this morning, you're going to find I'm hitting spoken words, original seed, the restoration of bride tree, and right down the line, you'll see it all come together. As you've never seen it come together before, as far as I would believe. Now, so he made a great boo-boo on that. So they came to me and they said, Brother Bale, this man said so-and-so. I said, he's wrong. And I waited for a split second. And the answer came, he's way off because he doesn't understand. God gave this word, as Brother Branham said, in seven parts, in seven complete ages. Right? Did he or did he not say it? At the end time, there's a perfect correction because the seals corrected the errors. When the man said, Brother Branham, you could write a new Bible, he said, hold it, right there. That's a trap. Other people tell me that Brother Branham never had any correction needed in his doctrine. If he hadn't, he'd have been the seals when he said Christ was the seals, and Christ is the Word. Brother Branham corrected not his doctrine per se, as an understanding of doctrine, but the fine points within it. He knew we should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But his original thesis and understanding on the evidence was love. He was wrong. He admitted it. William Branham stood before us when he preached on the opening of the seals. And in the breach he taught us. And he took a piece of paper and rolled it. And he said, all right, he said, a scroll, the book opened, they had scrolls. And he said he rolled it and he put a seal on it. And he rolled the second and put a seal on it. And he ended up teaching there were seven seals inside and seven seals outside. He had to come back and say, I made a mistake. There are no seven seals inside. Yet preachers right today are preaching seven seals inside. Why? Because they want to open a book. So you wonder why I get steamed up when I find other people singing for 20 years. Jesus said here and don't even know what they're singing about and don't understand anything about it. I'd like to ask a question. How many of you really know what we're singing? That Elohim is here. Raise your hands. Let me see. Come on. Let me see. How in the world can anybody then, except with a baptized brain, ever get anywhere? Brother Branham, this is not Lee Vail, this is William Marion Branham, vindicated prophet of God. What people need is their brains baptized beside the water. That's right. All right. Excuse that sharp expression, but I like to really let her soak in. He didn't let us soak in. He took an axe and opened the skull. No, he couldn't. He said, look, I'm like a doctor. He said, I pry open your mouth and I shove the medicine in and you spit it right back in my face. We want a revival, brother. Bring back things from the dead. You got to stir the thing up. Before you can do it, you got to get Satan kicked away. Don't fuss with him. Take your grounds and stand there. I've had to battle him around the world, and every other Christian ever stood for God has to battle him. But if you know what you're standing in, what you know is to be the truth, it's thus saith the Lord, you can stand there. Okay, he said, also an uncertain sound has spoken. Washington. That's where he mentioned, he said, not this necessarily, take necessarily, but he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. I know you think I'm crazy, but some of these days at the judgment bar, when I stand there by your side, you're going to find different. Now, have I been saying anything different from that? Huh? Is this Bible open before me, knowing there's a God in heaven? I'm not going to lie to you. Now, William Branham knew he'd be standing there, and he'd have to answer the same as those would have to answer. I'm not kidding myself. I have to answer. I have to answer if I've been a hypocrite, if I've lied, or anything else. Don't worry. You're going to find different. Now's the time. Don't wait till there. It'll be too late. Judge it with the Word. See if it's right. Then you'll know. Intellectual, they don't want somebody to really stand up and pull the Scripture out and show it. Now, a baptized brain is the only brain that can do this. Now you tell me you don't need your brain baptized when so many people, the Trinitarians, read without knowing they're reading. There's one mediator between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. Well, they say, well, Brother Vail, it's not that way. You see, that was God that became a man. Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't say that. So I try to confuse it. Well, I try to make the Bible read the way you want it to read. Why don't you just read it? And why don't you follow it all the way through with the Scripture? See, that's a beautiful thing. Once you find seen a seed in Genesis, you can follow it all the way through. You tell me a farmer out here that's successful doesn't know how to follow his crop all the way from planting in the spring to the fall and get it off the field. Come on, what kind of a farmer is he? He's a nut. No, he can't control the weather and a lot of things, but he can sure control what's in his power to control. And he knows when it's time to plow the earth. He knows when it's time to put the seed in. He knows when to fertilize. He knows when to water. Now, those things like watering, some of those things have to come from God. But let's say that man has a nice well out there that's an artesian. I understand in the high here, if you go down 200 feet, you'll strike water everywhere. And why not sink a well 200 feet? And I've seen it over here toward New Carlisle and different places on, let's see, what's that, 506, I guess. And you'll see them watering all the time out there. And the farms over there around Troy Fulton Farms, where are they getting their water? I think it's 200 feet down in the well. What do they call it, aquifer down? I don't know what they want, if it's even an aquifer. So I kind of thought that word meant you had good water down there. But this is kind of murky, lots of sulfur, no doubt. But see, a farmer knows things. See? That's why the Bible said the children of darkness have a smarter brain than the children of light, unless the children of light get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're looking at this baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, now, then you'll know, intellectual. They don't want somebody to really stand up and pull the scripture out and show it. Now, Brother Branham's talking about himself. You're not talking about me, but I stand with Brother Branham. Well, I have a right to do so. He said, you and I are just alike. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've got a little gift of healing and nobody wants it. You've got a gift of teaching and nobody wants yours. And you know why they don't want it? Same reason they don't want his. He took his gift of healing to the Word. Now look what's happened today. They want someone that's trained to bypass it. They don't want to know that. Oh, they just can't stand that. Fish and loaves are fine, but Jesus did the same thing. What a wonderful prophet. The little prophet of Galilee was healing the sick. He was a great man, but one day he sat down and began to pour the truth to them. The whole group walked up and left him. Even the 70 went. And he turned to the 12 and said, do you want to go too? Now listen, here is where I stand, and here is where Lee Miller, dying, is standing right today. Now you listen to these words, and you get them right from William Branham. Not from Lee Vale. I've said it, no doubt, hundreds of times, many more times now, I believe, than Brother Branham ever did. Because this strong word, I've been preaching a long, long time now, 30 solid years, and getting harder and stronger all the time with this stand. And Peter made these notable words and said, Lord, where would we go? Where would we go? Once you come to this message, you're sunk. And if you're just fooling around, you're twice dead, or three times or four times dead for all I know. Where would you go? You become a fatalist. Right? Come on, there's nothing you can do about it. If he knew how many fleas there would be, and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, and how many to make a pound of tallow, Brother Branham said, you better believe you're on fatalistic ground. A lot of people have words for those things, karma and everything else. Certainly, he said, then he began from that very hour. Long as he was healing the sick, it was fine. But when he went to interfering with their individual lives, then that said something different. From right there, his ministry began to diminish, right to the cross, right onto the cross. And every true servant of God will follow the same example. Certainly, that people want to be patted and played with. But when it comes to truth, they don't want it. Now remember, these tapes are growing around the world. I had the same experience many times. As soon as I began getting into the Word, left off discerning, which I had no business to do, and heavy praying for the sick, which I had every right to do. But everybody doesn't pray for the sick. It was a temporary thing with me. The people could never stand the teaching of the Word. They never, ever even wanted the gifts set in order in the church, and I was doing it in my own little simplistic way. And I was never so coldly received and excoriated by a bunch of Lateraners, Pentecostals, as I was when I gave them the illustration that when I was operating with gifts, one day I felt what I knew was what I would call an anointing. I did at that time. I called the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I just felt so exuberant in my soul, and being a tongue talker after a limited fashion, because I was not one that was doing it all the time, I wanted to just simply scream in tongues and praise the Lord, and suddenly something within me went very chilling and said, just a minute, perhaps that's not what you're supposed to do. Maybe God wants to make you aware of something. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I said, Lord, what do you want? And I've told you this before, but I want you to understand why I'm saying this. Because repetition makes you understand. And I said, Lord, what is it? And he said, open your eyes. And I'm calling this the Lord, you understand. Just don't feel bad. He said, look down there to your right. And I looked down and said, there's a woman down there, and she has such and such a problem. And I says, I didn't know her name, but I said, Sister so-and-so, isn't it a fact that you're affected by such and such? And she said, yes, and we prayed for her. And I told the people at this meeting, I said, what you people many times call an anointing is merely the awareness of God wanting to show you something or have something for you to do. When I explained that, one man cried. He said, Brother Vail, and he let me know they actually despised me almost for what I said. But he said, you are right. That man's name was Brother Snow, a car dealer from Fort Worth or Dallas, Texas, because that's where I was. See, don't want it. Don't want teaching. Don't want gifts in order. But I told you, I was already being led of the Lord to put gifts in order, to understand, even in my own blindness, because I blind with Pentecostal teaching, in my own understanding, having my own way. Of course, that's finished today. Those things are out of the picture. We don't deal with those gifts and things anymore. And I can give you many reasons, but my greatest reason right now is that when Brother Branham wanted me to work with him because he knew I understood a certain amount, certain portion, understood the believer's meeting. Believer's meetings are scriptural. Gifts can be operational, but you have to have it in order. It's got to be under the word of Almighty God. And he wanted me, of course, as I've told you on different occasions, to actually work with him and put a church in order with gifts because we would work together. It never ever happened. And when he went to his own church and said, I'm going in there with you, they walked out. So if the prophet couldn't do it and it wasn't done, let me say very plainly, we are now back to the Ephesian age. It is word, 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 word. And I'm not interested in gifts except the fact that there are gifts. As Brother Branham said, as long as there's a true bride on earth, there'd be a genuine true gift of tongues. I'm not against it for 1 minute. I have to believe in my heart if I spoke in tongues, which perhaps I could do. I don't know. It might have been a transient thing in my life. I believe it would be genuine. And I believe that if I'm a genuine born-again Christian, I will not do it except under circumstances where the church is in order. It would never be done here, not in this building. It'd be done in another room somewhere. And then again, I don't know if I could do it on the grounds that I'm not called to do it. Those gifts are complementary to my ministry. So why would I then want to come down from what God gave me for the people, which is what they're supposed to have? I'm doing something which I'm not supposed to do or not necessarily supposed to do, not truly qualified to do. It's not right for me to do because I'm not even supposed to be there. Understand what I'm saying? So we're looking at those things. Now, all right. Last night we took some time here to go into the question of Eve, who should have borne Christ. And I took you to a very simplistic picture of Genesis here, and I'm going back over it for a specific reason, as I mentioned, to show you how that we come into, with these thoughts, into stature perfect man, spoken word's original seed, and the bride tree restored, and various sermons that Brother Branham preached, which actually have to do with his ministry of word restoration and how the word actually came, the presence of God, and so on. So we took you over here to the third chapter of Genesis, not to begin with, but later, where God said to the serpent and to the woman, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And, of course, we look back at the very beginning where God had said to them in Genesis 1, 26, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle of all the earth, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And I showed you there that when you look at that, you have to even take in consideration bacteria, fungus, and everything else. That man was to have complete charge over it. And, of course, you know that everything in the earth actually was there for a good purpose. And the only reason it could be turned into a wrong purpose or counterproductive as far as man is concerned, who had the blessing of God, was because it would be used in a wrong way. Like as I've showed you many times, when God gave Adam the ability to call all the animals, and that's about as far as he got. There's no record of calling the birds or, other forms of life. He never got into that. And since that time, we have found scientifically that there's literally, I suppose even today, thousands and maybe millions of things we haven't even named. And we'll never get around to it. And that was very necessary because of what we have, a misguided ecological condition where the Bible finally tells us that those who destroy the earth are going to be destroyed. And people try to tell you the earth cannot be destroyed, like Rush Limbaugh. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Now, I like the man very much because I'm a very strong conservative, but he's an idiot when it comes to this. He thinks people like us are trying to say that this earth, which is about 25,000 miles around, and all this huge mass is going to be destroyed. Oh, come on. It's not going to be destroyed. God's talking about the conditions on the earth bringing destruction upon mankind, and it's doing it. Now, you can see how great icebergs and the great ice flow in the Arctic are beginning to fall away. Science is taking pictures of them where thousands of tons are falling down. And they're blaming it on to the greenhouse effect. I don't believe that hardly for anything. Now comes El Nino. And now, what if that starts going up toward the Bering Straits and Steinmetz would have his way when he said, hey, let's make the whole North American continent a Garden of Eden. Well, he said, we'll take the atomic energy, we'll blow up the Bering Straits, we'll let the Japanese current go up there, presto. And what would be the presto? New York underwater. I mean, come on. where are these people getting off at when they're talking about science? And where's Limbaugh getting off at when he talks about that people like us have a perverted idea that this earth is suddenly going to be blow up? Well, I'll tell you what, it's never going to blow up. It's going to be dissolved with the fervent heat. It's going to go back maybe to hydrogen. Hydrogen is the number one building block. How do I know if there's not another building block? And I care less. See, but, you know, if all things were made, try to tell you all things were made by faith. Faith weren't, oh, come on. Faith doesn't make the world. The Word of God made the Word of God made the world, and we believe it. That's what the Bible is trying to tell. People get the strangest conception. But anyway, we're looking at this where he says, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and God created man in his image, his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Now, we looked at that, and he went over here a little later, and God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, which doesn't mean replenish at all, it means plenish it. Many people take that word ignorantly, and they think the earth was once populated. It doesn't say that. That's a wrong word. It's plenish. Cover it, and plenish the earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon it. And then he said, I've given you the trees to eat and all those things. Now, he said here then, be fruitful and multiply. We looked into those words, and here's what I want to show you from those words, and get back to some of the sermons Brother Branham preached, so we might have a greater understanding. So now, the word fruit literally means a bough, B-O-U-G-H, a bough. And with it also is the word reward. So that if you're going to take these and put them together, you're going to have an understanding that this bough is a fruit bearer, and if you have the bough, then you got fruit. You see what I'm saying? So, all right, now the word fruitful is to bring forth fruit. To be fruitful, to cause to be fruitful, or to make fruitful. To grow and to increase. So that's what you're looking at. Now, with that, we found that God said multiply. And again, we found the word multiply didn't have really a thing to do with procreation. Although procreation is involved in the fact of multiplying, it's involved in the fact of being fruitful. That is not it. It's only partly it. It's just like if I said to you, would you sooner have a family of two children that are well clothed and well fed, well disciplined, well mannered, well educated, good citizens, or 13 kids running around, half fed, half starved, ragamuffins, miserable, messy, ending up criminals? You'd say, oh God, have pity. Now I'm asking you this question to prove the point. When, why did God take 8 people into the ark and not a million? 8 did the trick. 8 was all. That's all he could take. That's all that were there. And so the 5.5 billion, which they figure were at that time, went down to debt. So, and remember, what does the scripture also say? Many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. So how many children were procreated by God through Abraham? Well, how many Jews are there right now, and they're not even Jews? Against the Arabs and a bunch of others, the millions. Now, we don't have a great deal of faith in and a lot of use for the Wall Street Jew. But I'm going to tell you, there's 144,000 over there that God's got a lot of use for. And they're amongst the millions and millions. And when the bride is out of here and the foolish virgin is destroyed, hey, 144,000. And you better believe it. Is that right? 144,000 out of how many? 5 to 6 billion, right? Now, who's a smart mathematician? Tell me right now, I'm putting percentage-wise. Well, give yourself time when you get home, get your calculator, and figure it out. And then listen to what Brother Branham said. 1/100 to 1%. He brought it down to a thousandths. And what did that come to? The bleed? No, they just heard. Well, all your internet, everything else, how many people actually heard of William Branham or know anything about him or one thing about this message? So, okay, just keep this all in mind. Now, let me tell you what word multiply means. It means to increase. It means abundance, be in authority, to bring up, to continue, to enlarge, to excel exceedingly, be full of, be or make great or greater or do greatly, grow up, heap up, increase, be or give or have more. It could be a number. Could multiply, nourish, plenty, store up thoroughly. Now that's what he said right there. Now he said, all right, I want you to increase, multiply. I want you to be fruitful. Okay, let's look at this business then here. Yeah, what we want to talk about. All right, here we have a trunk of a tree. And here's the ground, and here's all the roots down here. Now, that tree, to be fruitful, has to shoot forth a what? Branch. A bough or a branch. So, okay, here we have here. Have the tree, and we have the bough, the branch like this here, and here, here, here. Now, ask you a question. Where does the fruit grow? Does it grow here on the trunk, or does it grow here? It grows there. Let me ask you another question. What is this branch actually in relationship to the tree? It's a part of the tree. It's an extension of the tree. Is that right? That's very good. Okay, let's go down here. Now here we have over here, this is one tree. And this, of course, we can have the tree here, a little bit like this tree coming down here. And, okay, here's a branch come out of here, and here's here. And ha-ha, look at here. This is a man. And this is, his name is Adam. And now, what came out of Adam? Huh? So, okay, Eve. And what is she? She's a bow. She is a part of Adam. Is that right? She is a part, and she's an extension of Adam. Now, what is this branch for? It is for the tree. Now, what does the tree want to do? The tree wants to bring forth fruit. Now, what is this? What is this for? This is the man. And what is this woman for? This woman is to bring forth fruit. Okay? So, okay, we have fruit from Eve. Eve is therefore actually the bearer of the life manifested, which lies in the tree, which was actually made for that. Now then, will you believe with me, though God had no maker, He was always, that He has within Him, without change, certain specific things within Him that God Himself cannot change if He would. I am the Lord, I change not, else you sons of Jacob would be consumed. There is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Who can convince Him? He is of one mind. God is not a man that He should change His mind. You can do nothing about God, and the fact of the matter is that God can do nothing about Himself. He can't. He can only act within what He is. Now listen, that's got to be a substantial law, or we are going to have something here which my books could not qualify as God with all the attributes the Bible says about Him and everything else that we have ever known about Him. So therefore, what we have in here is God cannot produce other than what actually lay within Him. Now, He can create and He can do all kinds of other things. But only what lays within God is God able actually to do. Now, let's go back to this tree, which I am talking is the original. And this tree is in heaven. Now, I put a round thing about that because there wasn't even a heaven. We don't know anything. All we know is that one time this tree, Elohim, which is the strong one bound by an oath. The self-existent strong one bound by an oath. In other words, strength and wisdom lie within Him. And He is God, and therefore sovereign, and He can only act according to His strength. He cannot go beyond it. What is His strength? He's omnipotent. What is His wisdom? He's omniscient. He's just got it all here. Now, Brother Branham categorically said the truth. When there wasn't an atom, for he made a little mistake in his chronology like everybody does. He said there wasn't a breath of air, then he said there wasn't an atom. Well, air is made up of atoms, as far as I know. Atom of oxygen, atom of hydrogen, atom of nitrogen, you name it, it's a conglomeration. So, a light formed. A branch came forth. Right? Now, what came forth? Came forth this branch in order to bear fruit. In Him was all of us. I showed you that, and who is this Melchizedek, right? Coming on down here. Now, so, let us now begin to see this over here, where these two are to reproduce from here. Everything that God was bodily, the fullness of Godhead bodily, was here, came into this. Later on, we want to trace this through here and down here into Jesus, made flesh. Everything would come through there and now come, finally, all these coming through here, down here, into millennium, and New Jerusalem. That's not New Jersey, by the way. That's New Jerusalem. So, anyway, what you're looking at is here. Now, that God wanted His children to be, well, first of all, I'll get back to this psalm first. But first of all, when God put him in flesh, He said, I want you to prune the trees. Now, okay, Adam is over here, and he's pruning. What does pruning mean? It means to cut off. So, Adam is pruning the trees, and the trees are there for fruit. Right? So, he's going to have to cut off certain limbs that can't bear fruit. See? It's got to go. Or, they got to be cut back so they will bear more fruit. Now, I want to ask you a question. When Adam goes around pruning the trees, does he come up with a great big heap of rubble like this, and he doesn't know where to put the branches anymore because he got them all? Or is there something in the soil that causes them to naturally disintegrate and go back where they came from? Well, you got to know the answer, because the Bible distinctly says when you sin, you're going to die. From dust you came and dust you go back. So every one of these bacteria and those things which were good, he had control over. As long as he didn't sin. But the minute he sinned, everything went out of cater. The bacteria could take over. The man died. And he could even get diseases before. Now, I'm just showing you this because I want you to realize that, as the poet said, when God said, thou shalt die, he never said it to the soul. It was only to the body, for the soul never came out of the dust. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. You'll go back to the very elements. So I want you to see here that something was already in the earth working, because he was pruning those trees there. Now remember, he pruned those trees in order to get the fruit. And if there wasn't a tree, a branch, that was bearing fruit, that had a problem. Now, let's go back to the first psalm, because that's what I want to take you to. This is why I'm sure you're going to be able to see right through to the rapture. And many tapes of Brother Branham preached what we're looking at to hear, which is indeed very beautiful. Of course, this is all mental, according to my brethren out yonder. Lee Bale is purely an intellectual, and this is just a bunch of hogwash. Really, really, I'm just telling you some stuff to, you know, going, make you feel you know something, and, you know. So if you meet somebody, you start spouting off. I got news for you. I'm quoting the prophet right down the line. Now, did he not quote the first psalm? All right, let's go into it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is Eve if she had not listened to the ungodly one. The ungodly one was not made in the form of God. He was a creation. He was not in the image of God. He looked nowhere near like Him. But he was absolutely brilliant. He was absolutely intelligent. And he pointed people away from God. Does Lee Dale do that? Does Lee Dale talk about himself and other people except talk about the prophet and lead you right back to God? Let's see where the intellect really is. Let's see where it is. If I told you a lot of deep, wonderful things, you have to admit, sitting here and my hundreds of sermons are on tapes, I always tell you where I got it, and I got it from Brother Branham. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that's the devil, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor the devil is a sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, he scorned God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now you wonder why I say we should get together and talk the word. I will lay awake hours last night thinking what I'm going to tell you today, because my mind began to flood with what I didn't tell you last night. Lie there. Commune with yourself. Talk with yourself. Talk with this word. That's what the Bible said this man does. If he says anything, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about that which is vindicated. He's talking about the Word. And you'll get nowhere except the counsel of the godly comes from the Word. And let me tell you this, God never did ordain ministers or any child of His to be an idiot. You couldn't be in the priesthood if you even had a finger that was cut off. You couldn't have anything wrong with your body, let alone with your head. If I believe what people say about me and the ministry that Brother Branham had and the ministry of good men of God had, I would say God would have to go to the nut house and find the screwiest mixed up idiot and say, I'll call you to preach. Come on right now. I'm not saying He couldn't do it if He brought the man back to rationality. Read your Psalms. Let any man talk to you about this Bible, though he is an absolute atheist, he will tell you this book is sublime. There's beauty in this book. I know because I have listened to great men who did not believe the real truth. And they will tell you, listen, the Bible is still the greatest book there ever was. And of course, the people that want to hate it, they can go ahead and hate it. Now, and he shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Eden was surrounded by water. Major rivers broke into four heads, preparing the way for civilization where people would travel, giving them water, for water signifies life, and they weren't salt rivers, they were water of life. Bringing forth his fruit in his season, and Brother Brown spoke of fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither. In other words, the full manifestation's there. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, but the ungodly are not so. Listen to this. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. No, because they're going to be cast on the lake of fire. They haven't got a leg to stand on. Why haven't they got a leg to stand on? They haven't got any word. For any word they have is perverted. And any perverted word is no longer the Word of God. I don't care if you quote it, and I quote it, and we all quote it. It is not the Word of God. Because it's changed. Why? Because His Word cannot change. Then if there's a change, it's not His Word. Now, it can be started as His Word. But the minute you do one thing about it, take one word or put a word there, here, or the other way, it is no longer. Now the ungodly are not, they shall not stand in judgment. Nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What is the way of the righteous? In His law, He does meditate day and night. And He hasn't got He doesn't give a hoot to have anything to do with the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't give a rip about anything anybody else has got to say. It's live, die, sink, or swim. Okay, here we have Elohim, right here. Here we have a bough or a branch. Here we have from Him what God wants, which is to bring all His sons into glory, for He is the first begotten, He is the first fruit here, and He's the first fruit from the dead. And everyone else is going to be in His likeness as Jesus was in His likeness. So whatever was in God to bring forth Jesus as the only begotten Son and even the first begotten from the dead, the one who's the Lamb who sits upon the throne, had to be in God. And what was in God came forth what? Man. Eyes, ears, nose, feet, everything else, even God said. He has ears. He has a nose. He has hands. He has feet. He has a breast. He has a back. Moses saw it. So what was in there? You see, the relationship to God, my brother and my sister, is not some little filial, and I mean filial in the sense of a vine, some little tendril, some little thing there. It's a filial sense of being a son. And they are the image of the Father, and we would not be looking what we look like if that was not within God Himself. In the wisdom and the unchanging God. And you and I will come back as we are in these bodies, but completely glorified. I will not be Reverend George Smith or Reverend John Brown. I don't think any reverend there, because Reverend Holy is his name. Or Joe Blow or John Dunk, I can tell you that. I'm going to be just me, and you're going to be just you. And you won't need to worry about your parents. You'll find that many of us were just an accident of birth, according to our parentage. Our parentage is of God. And we come in our generation down one after the other. So, what I see here then, and what I'm looking at, is these words that I have brought to your attention, referring to the capacity that lay within this one, that came from God, that came down to us, now redeemed by Him, to bring us here. You follow me? Okay, with that in mind, we're now going to go, well, we won't go there yet. Let's go first of all to Jeremiah Now, see, I'm going way past what I started with last night, because I'm doing it on purpose. 5 and 6. 23 of Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days shall Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's one of the 7 redemptive titles of Jehovah. I think that's, and Brother Brown, Jehovah said, Kenya, and Brother Brandon preached on the Lord our righteousness. So it's good for you to go back. Now I'm including the Lord our righteousness. So go on back and hear his tape. On the series in Louisville, Mississippi. What was that, 1964, maybe. Yeah, maybe even 2. Okay. Very good. Let's go to 33, 15 and 16. That's when he said that I knew the doctrine. Very nice compliment. I wish I knew it back then like I know now. In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and that is the name wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, look, she's going to take the very name that we have. We are Christians. We are Messiahs. We are Mrs. Jesus. They're going to take that name, which they haven't been able to take. They're soon going to do it. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. And so on, right down the line. Now with that, we want to go to Zechariah. And we go to Zechariah 3, and you know what I'm driving at right now, that this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. 3:8-10. Hear now, Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I'll bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engravings thereof, saith the Lord of the hosts. That comes right down to our day in the book of Revelation, you know. And I'll remove the iniquity out of the land in one day. Brother Branham speaks of this. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. So what we've got going for us right now takes us right to the millennium. Time and eternity have blended. See, and I'm looking, it'll take hours to look up references of Brother Branham and talk. I got to skip all that. I'm too busy and too lazy, too. He might as well tell you the whole truth. You've got to know anyway. All right, Zechariah 6:12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Brother Brown said the millennium temple is going to be built. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Isn't that marvelous? He's even that. Right now he's even that. He's our high priest sitting on a throne. That means you've got to come down mighty quick and build a temple. And counsel of peace shall be between them both. Be both. So, what I'm looking at here then, and trying to tell you, he's a branch. And at the same time, he's a first fruit. Because bough and branch and fruit synonymous in the sense of one doesn't have without the other. And this branch here is exactly what this tree is, but it's still a branch. This is God. This is the Son of God. Now, in Him lay all of us. And this one here will manifest the life that is in there. And He said, I only do what my Father shows me to do by what He gives me to do and the strength to do it. And I only tell you what He tells me so you'll know what it's all about. And have your revelation. Now, these children of His that I showed you come down through Adam and Eve, and I showed you those words, they show you that we are set here in order to grow. And remember, when Jesus came down, the Bible distinctly says He grew in stature and in favor with God and man. And the Bible distinctly says, for the joy that was set before Him, He forgot the past, He endured the cross, He despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He tells us the very same thing. And what was it? I came to do my Father's will, and His will only will I do. So He was that one of whom I'm telling you. Listen to the words again. To increase. Now, fruitful is about. To bear, to bring forth, to be, to cause to be, to make fruitful, grow and increase. Now, hasn't He done it? Hasn't He multiplied? Hasn't He come to authority? Didn't He bring up? Doesn't He continue? Doesn't He enlarge? Come on, is He not adding to the bride, Old and New Testament? The old is gone by now. Don't you see all these things are within Him? Now, notice that you and I have the same privilege as trees planted by the water. And if He was a great measure of the Word, and we are a part of the Word, and He found it to be completely submissive to the Word, to the will of Almighty God, to the Word of God, lo, in the volume of the book is written to me, I come to do Thy will, O God. Lo, a body hast Thou prepared for me. And the voice answers back, because He said, you have assumed the place of righteousness, and you have shunned evil. God, even thy God, has elevated thee. Now, how was it done? Obedience to the Word. See? And He had to be 100% one with that Word, or the rest didn't count. That's why I keep on preaching and saying, listen, you can talk all you want about your active faith. The devil's got active faith. He can even take the gifts of God and do better than the whole bunch of scuttles butts out there in the universe, or the bride of Christ ever thought of doing. If you don't believe it, just start looking at life the way it is. And you'll find out. There's a time to sow. There's a time to water. There's a time to reap. And the point is, most people get everything into disorder. Now, He wants us to have, as it were, this image. Not as it were, but the image of Christ. As Jesus is in the image of God, that's why He said, you can't let no man make an image of me. Don't let anybody do it. He said, if you make a graven image, I'm going to tell you what, you're an idolatry. I'll destroy you. Why? Because He was going to bring His own image. Christ, the image of God. Knowing, and the Jews already knew we were in the image of God. Because the Bible distinctly says Adam was the son of God. They know. That's why when Jesus came to say, and He said, I'm a son in a way which no other man is a son. Oh man, the Jews hated Him. They couldn't take it. Oh, we're sons of God, hallelujah. We came down from Abraham. Hey, don't you come here and tell us a thing about Moses. You're an idiot. In fact, you're a blasphemer. You're the devil. People said, is not this the son of David? Oh, they said, like fun, it's the son of David. This is that other one. This is the devil's seed. They understood serpent seed. Why, they said, we be not born of fornication. Did they think that Jesus was running around looking under their beds or in their bedroom to see if they're having illicit affairs and born of fornication? Hogwash. They knew that Eve had fornicated. The doctrine in the Talmud distinctly says that Eve had performed coitus with the serpent and brought forth Cain. They describe it different from Brother Branham, but it's in there. It's in there. They have the Adam and Eve having intercourse before the serpent came. Brother Branham set the record right. It was before Adam got to her. You see? Now she was to bring forth fruit. Now, if you're going to be patterned in the bringing forth of fruit from here, right on down to here, you've got to understand that when God said to her, I'm going to go... See, do I better go back there or go back here? Well, okay, we'll go back to Genesis. I've got to keep my thoughts now. But at the same time, in Genesis here, he tells her, like I said, in verse 15 of 3, and I'll put enmity thy seed and her seed. Now, what I'm looking at is this. God may not have told Eve and Adam. Now, he talked to Adam, but not Eve. But I guess together they got a lot of conversation with God. There's no record where God said, you have a seed. Now, look, there's only one way that woman can have seed. So we're going to go back. Here's Adam. Here is this tree with this light. Now, this woman here comes out of him. She's a fruitful branch to bring the fruit of the womb. That's scripture. Lots of scripture on the fruit of the womb. She's got to bring this fruit here, which is a child. And remember I read to you concerning the tree. The tree has a seed, and in that seed is the reproductive power. So we go, let's read it. What is that? 1 and 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. That's not what I want. No, it's over here in chapter 1, 29. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So, here comes up here out of Adam. And he's got a woman. And this woman here has to bring forth children with Adam so he can reproduce himself, which is the life that came from God, having come through Christ. So you're going to have a lineage. See? Right down the line, sons and daughters of God. Now, she is responsible for every child born. She's responsible. But she's only responsible because of Adam. Now, she has the very life that was in Adam. She has nothing else. The Bible doesn't tell us one thing that God did for Eve. It simply says that he took a rib out of her. And Brother Branham tells you, he took the female spirit and put it in her. And there's no record I know of where God did any other thing than to use every single thing that was in this one person here before that branch came out. So as Jesus was the essentiality in that measure, so is Eve the essentiality, as in this measure, is the measure up here. In other words, it's all one. You can't look, I don't care. Eve was in the, Brother Branham calls she was not in the original creation. Paul does not say that. Paul uses another word, which is the same thing as Brother Branham meant. She was not formed at the same time Adam was. She was not formed at the same time the beasts were. She was not. So therefore, she was in another area. And Brother Branham said she had to be formed, and she was in a lesser position because it was not compatible or complementary to God to have a son fall. So she was the one that had to do it. See? Made that way. Now, so she goes, so it's all right now. This is indicative, as I tell you here, this branch that's going to multiply, the life in whatever is there in the tree, is going to come forth, and it's going to be a seed in this fruit. Well, isn't that exactly true? It doesn't the male actually contain sperm, and the female contain the egg? So this is what you're looking at, and seeing this particular picture here. Now, it was supposed to be according to the first song. Now, let's find out what Jesus says. We go to First, nothing. We go to the book of John, chapter 15. I am the vine, my Father's a husbandman. I am the vine, you are the branches. I read it the way it says there. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Oh, just a minute now. Every single branch that came out of here would have to be that. Every single branch came out of here, it'd have to be that. Now he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now listen, Adam and Eve failed to abide in him. We'll see as we go down. Did you turn that tape over on me? Which is good. I missed that. All right. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That's just what Jesus said about himself and the Father. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch is withered, and men gather them, cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now listen, watch this very, very carefully. You'll get thrown for a loop like every Pentecostal and every believer that doesn't really believe right as far as Lee Dale's concerned today, and according to what I think Brother Branham would say. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. In other words, he says here, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. In other words, if the abiding truth is in you, you will pray according to the will of God and no other way. And there isn't one theologian who will admit that the Word of God is the will of God. So therefore, if anybody wants the will of God, he can go to the Word of God. And if you don't know what the Word of God is concerning the will of God for you, and you pray to Him and you're honest and sincere, He will lead you to the Word, or what speaks in your heart will be equivalent to that Word, though I wouldn't go too much by that. I'd go to the Word. Because 99% of our lives are not in jeopardy or in a quandary of decision if we go to the Word. And then if you're in doubt, you've got to do what the Scripture says. Let no man say, I will go to the town tomorrow and do a visitation, but if God willing, I will go, and He enables me. So you can see here what we are looking at. It says it's all based upon the Word. You see? So therefore now, we have a beautiful picture of Jesus, and we have a beautiful picture of all of us, and we see the whole thing coming down from this tree here. And everything would have been perfect, but Eve allowed herself to be trapped by the devil and therefore was impregnated by the beast, which was so close to a human being, they could mix. And actually so close, I mean so close, that the hybrids could reproduce themselves. And remember that every one of these females that Eve produced and were impregnated by the males that she produced were the true children of God, the children like unhybridized. The last one was Noah, and he died right after the flood. And there wasn't one more left. And all of these same daughters were impregnated by Cain, and the rest of the progeny. They multiplied very, very rapidly, and they became the dominating force. And you will see what Cain was like, and you'll see what Nimrod was like. And you see where all the false religions came in, worshiping God with the sword. Christianity itself worships God with the sword and with finances. What a terrible condition, brother, sister, this world is in. And they call themselves Christians. No more Christians than the hind leg of a dog. You can take God's name you want and you bear it, but you bear it in vain. And you'll have to answer to God according to the pure commandments that God gave. All right, so we're looking at this thing here now. Herein is my Father glorified, you bear much fruit. Now, I'm going to show you what Paul the Apostle said. And Paul the Apostle said it over here in the book of Ephesians, and it is now the third chapter, and herein he reads. Now, okay. Paul says, for this cause, at verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's wonderful to have evidently Jesus Christ as a Father. Isn't that great? I thought he was God the Father himself, according to Jesus only. See, I told you, you get blinded by Satan, you know what happens? Immorality becomes morality. You don't believe it? You should know my friend John Harris, he's dead. He'll actually get to know him in the millennium. He had a Pentecostal preacher, one this guy named Big Red. And this guy here preached like a house of fire. And he liked to pray like a house of fire. And he thought he really was a man on fire. And he was on fire in the wrong way. So he starts going, when he's on the road away from his wife, he gets in an affair with a woman. And Brother Harris finds out. And Harris eyeballed him. He said, what do you think you're doing? You call yourself a Christian preacher, not? Well, he said nothing to it. I was away from my wife. She didn't have a husband. We just met our needs. So sin is no longer sin. No longer sin. And he's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and salvation. Speaking in tongues, everything else. Come on, get off it. He's the kind of guy that said Jesus is his own Father. Now, watch now. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Wonderful. Let's go back and start the whole first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, the placing of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure as well. In other words, every single child of God would have to come through Jesus Christ and be there. Why? Because they came from in the beginning. So now what about these beautiful kids? We're talking about the whole family. That he would grant unto you, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's in your soul. Outer man's your body with the spirit and the senses. Now, he's going to get right down to the soul here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God. What fullness of God? What do you want you to be filled with? You don't become an Elohim. You're a son of God. Now you can have all this by the baptism with the Holy Ghost under these conditions. Let's watch the conditions. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask and think, according to the power that is at work, that worketh in us. That is a wrong translation. The actual literal translation of this is according to the God himself exercising his own power within you. Now, if you think I'm off the scripture by giving you a literalization, I have news for you. I'm going to now take you to Galatians, the second chapter. In Galatians, the second chapter, we read, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Not I am crucified, I have been crucified with Christ. Brother Branham told you that you died with him. Even expiated your own sins in him. Show me a theologian that told you that. Show me some book written. Yet a woman told me that Brother Branham's sermon, she had read them all previously in a magazine he gave her. Show me any preacher that preached on serpent seed. Show me a preacher that lowered the boom on anointed ones at the end time. I'd like to know. I've read the books and I read the books. Not anymore, really. Used to read them. I'd lie to you if I said I do. Why would I waste my time on hogwash and filthy pig's will? I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, the perfect confidence in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, love within us, knowing his word. We stand right there. That's why Brother Branham said what he said, what I quoted to you this morning. Stand right there. Now, this is what we are looking at and what God wants for his people. Now, we know that Eve, as I said, blew it. But getting back here again to that third chapter where the Lord revealed to her what perhaps previously hadn't revealed to her. Remember, even Satan came. And he, knowing the Word, he had access to so many things of God. And he had that Word in perversion. He said, why? He said, God knows if you do what I tell you to do, your eyes are open, you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. And you know, God said the same thing. He said, now, he said, talking to the Son, no doubt. And he said, now look. Now they're like gods, knowing good and evil. You know that God can confirm every single word the devil said as long as the devil quotes it exactly as it is said. But he will never confirm the devil's revelation. In other words, if God said, look, so and so, and the devil said it, God said, that's exactly what I said. Then he said, the devil, now tell me what I meant. Tell me where what it refers to. Tell me how it applies. Tell me how it's to be used. What season is it for? See, resting the Word of God. That's what Satan did. He deliberately rested the Word of God. Deliberately took that Word and used it. Now, God said to her, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. In other words, this woman, at that time, had the power right there to bring forth a child. Positively had that power to bring forth one who was absolutely superior to Satan. Now let's look at a little question in just a minute. You get kind of puzzled? No big need to be puzzled. Where was Jesus and the devil in the beginning? Right before the Father's throne. When Jesus came down, how did he come down? He came down through the instrumentality of God's creative power of taking a sperm and egg and putting it in the virgin womb. Now, she had a virgin womb to begin with, but she went off the Word. See, blessed is the one who doesn't listen to any counsel, and she'll be like the tree planted by the water and bringing forth fruit in a season. The leaf will not wither. Immortality. She blew it. She blew it. Positively threw it away. She could have had it. See? She was the one to positively could bring forth that one. Now, in other words, I'm trying to tell you, she was a branch, or Brother Branham even called her a tree, a fruit-bearing tree. But remember, even trees to bear fruit, they got to be cross-pollinated. You got your birds and you got your winds and everything else to do that. There must be a pollination there. She had at that time the literal ability to bring forth from that virgin womb a child which was spoken by word. Even as Mary said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Now when Satan approached her, there can be no doubt in my mind to the extent of this, that I can be puzzled by what I believe. And I cannot make it 100% definitive. I don't know I have thus said the Lord. I have nothing that Brother Branham said. But is it not possible that he approached her upon the subject of birth? Is it not possible he talked to her about the very things that God said, be fruitful and multiply? Well, the word was there that he could dissipate it and mess with it and do it. There's a good probability, I don't know. But something came up that persuaded her to do an act which he had no business doing, even apart from her husband. God had reserved her, as he himself had brought forth this one in his image with this one and himself, and put them together in flesh, and said, be fruitful and multiply. I have told you, rest on my word. My word is going to do it because my word cannot return unto me void. But she didn't do it, and Satan came along. Then Mary came along finally, a virgin womb. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. I'll multiply. I'll have fruit. I'll have what you said according to your word. She didn't do it. She went off of that word. That's why Brother Branham said a woman is a sacred vessel unto childbearing. That's why exactly sex has ruined the whole world. And you got sex so muddled up today. You got lesbians. You got homosexuals. You got heterosexuals. You got bisexuals. You got God knows what. You got animals. Do you realize today there are close to 4 million babies born usually to pregnant young girls in America? 4 million a year, roughly. 3,600,000 and some thousand. In 10 years, there'll be 40 million. Where has your world gone to? So, all right. Time to quit. Light's gone out. Came on and went out. So, if we have any type of good fortune, good feeling of health or anything else, we'll try to continue. At this point, I really can guarantee nothing the way things go, and I really don't intend to. I'm to the place where if the Lord helps and the Lord leads, we'll be back. I won't even go to town. That's what the Bible said. Don't say we'll do this, we'll do that, except the Lord helps, the Lord leads. So I want you to see where we are. You've seen this morning I have combined many sermons of Brother Branham, even to the restoration of the bride tree, because Brother Branham said if it ever puts forth another branch, it'll be a Pentecostal branch. I didn't get to it. But just use your own thinking and follow the guides, and you see if he ever puts forth another branch. And he did. It's a Pentecostal branch, Jehovah himself doing it. That help you? All right, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being here. We know, Lord, that at whatever time we spend, we pray, Lord, that the people can also read between the lines in the sense that some things I have not brought out, and yet we know enough has been brought out to bring many things together by what the prophets said. Because here it lies just, as the world would say, cold, cut within your word. Just as it were, as Brother Branham said, let my words, Lord, be as an iron pen upon a flinty stone. So there etched in, there would be no way that the winds and the erosion, the corruption in the earth and those things could ever erode it or blot it out, because there it is etched in, and there it will stand as tablets of stone. So our Father and our God, we know that we have a word which endures forever. And we're so grateful to know that the prophet gave us those immortal words of Peter and applied them to himself and applied them to us today, as we've been doing so many, 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 many times. Where do we go? Where do we go? Live, die, sink, swim. It doesn't matter. This is it. Our times are in your hands. Everything's in your hand. Everything is of you now, Lord. Time and eternity blended. Where should we go? Thank God you came and we recognized you, and you are our God. You are our God. Designated, shown by vindication. You answering back, yes, I am Elohim. The same one that was here in a body of flesh that turned back to a pillar of fire. Once more revealing and manifesting the Son of Man, proving positively. We don't have to worry anymore. The rest of faith come upon us. The absolute faith, perfect faith, all of these things ours. Lord, not because of us, but because of you. Help us to apprehend the truth as never before. And whatever there is to act upon, Lord, we pray we may have the sensibilities and the sensitivity and the joy, the great desire to do it. Even as the prophet said, I always do what I want. I always want to please him. My Lord, what a testimony. That's the thing, Father, that strikes my heart more than anything at all. Nothing to me outweighs that testimony. And Lord, we know that that's what each one in this building would desire, to have that same testimony. And we know it's ours, where we're lacking, what we're doing or not doing, what we're thinking or not thinking. Help us, Father, in this hour to come to that place, because that's what it's all about. Unto thee we give the glory. Ask it all, believe it all, hope it all, look for it, and love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.